if someone's ever given you one of those monthly subscription gifts where you get the chocolate of the month, or this is a real one, the socks of the month club, every month you're like, oh, that's a fun little gift, and it reminds you that they were thinking of you. Well, buckle up, Buttercup. We're about to take subscription services to a whole new level. It's the Chicken of the Month Club. That's right. You can join me and other potties and WayFM listeners at fh.org/Wally Show and give two chickens to a different family every month. Now, chickens in these developing countries make a huge difference in the lives of these families. These chickens provide a sustainable source of protein through their eggs every day, which helps nourish malnourished kids. And since chickens multiply quickly, it's a great side hustle for these families in that they can generate income by selling eggs or chicks in the market. And by you doing a $28 a month gift, you can make sure that a different family gets two chickens every month. That's kind of cool and very different. If someone gave me two chickens every month, I wouldn't know what to do with that. But in these other countries, they not only know what to do with them, they're also very thankful for people thinking of them and helping them out of these tough times. So what I love about Food for the Hungry is their mission to end poverty by going to the places and walking with some of the world's most vulnerable people, and they've done it for 50 years. You can trust them and you can do some good right now. So go to fh.org/Wally Show if you want to join our Chicken of the Month Club. Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast. All the stuff we did not get to during the course of the show today, the non-snowpocalypse edition. We had some snow hit us the other day, Thursday, I guess. Yep. It started coming in, and then it just shut down Nashville for a day or two. And it was bad. Like, the ride home, I know Betty Rock was traumatized.
It was terrible. Bad. It was terrible.
And she only has to go like 2 miles.
Yeah, that I spun out three different times and then got stuck trying to enter into where my house is.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a great thing.
No, like, I got stuck going home.
My limbs were shaking. Like, my hands were shaking. Sure. My feet were shaking.
Yeah.
Because I'm turning horizontal when I should be vertical.
Right, you can't control it.
And people are coming at me, and I'm thinking, I'm gonna die.
Yeah. I never thought I was going to die. I thought I was just going to be severely inconvenienced. And that is like dying to me. I was like, oh, I'm going to have to leave my car on the side of the road. Then I'm going to have to come back in 2 days to go get it if I can't get someone to pull it. Because I almost went into this ditch and I was able to avoid that. But then, like, I had to have, so I helped push a guy's car up a hill, and I didn't think that would work, but it did. You needed just enough little traction and enough straightening you out, and so then they helped me push my truck up the hill.
Because the ice hadn't set, I don't think, under all of the snow in a lot of situations, so there were patches that were pretty slippery, but if you got on the right, like, footing, all you need is just, like, four-wheel drive, and you're good.
I had to go out. Gavin had the longest commute home. Oh, how long did it take you to get home?
It took me about an hour and a half. And my drive is 23 minutes.
Ouch.
So it was, the horrifying part on the way there was I didn't slip until, you know, the 1 hour mark, per se. But it was funny because you're just going up the highway for a good 10 miles, and there are no, you can't see any of the lines in the lanes, and people are just creating.
You make your own lanes.
The lanes.
Yeah.
So that was a fun journey.
Well, it was driving me crazy because I'd be driving, and like in one part, I'm in a neighborhood and there's four-way stops, but the main road kind of has paths, like with people's road, like tires have cut a little path. And then the other two roads, there's no, they're completely filled with snow. No path, no tires, and no one in those cul-de-sacs was leaving, you know, and people were still stopping at the stop sign, and I'm like yelling, don't stop, like, you, there's no one coming. The minute you stop on ice, you're hosed. And so I'm like, go, and that frustrated me, and my wife was like, well, you got to follow the rules. I'm like, not during a snow day.
No,
there
can't.
Are no rules, man. Like, you're driving on the freeway in whatever tracks are left by the trucks there, you know, and so that's how you get through
it.
I went out the next day. Did you guys go out the next day when it was still icy?
No.
You did.
Like any normal human being, stay at home.
Yeah,
because you don't want to put your life in jeopardy or someone else's.
Yeah. It was Saturday.
Oh, Saturday, yeah.
I didn't go out Friday.
Oh, okay.
Snow was gone by then, so
Yeah, it was still icy in places, but we went out Saturday. But Friday, I just stayed at home. I was so stuck.
Yeah, the temp didn't go above 32.
Yeah, it drove me crazy. I'm like, oh, I should be able to go somewhere. But then I got stuck in my car. I stopped in my driveway. I had so much snow on my truck. I wanted to get it off my truck so it didn't melt in my garage. And I didn't get it all off. It still melted pretty heavy in my garage. But like I stop in my driveway. My driveway is solid ice. And so I go to drive into my garage, and I literally need to go a foot and a half until my front wheels are on no ice. Sure enough, the back of my truck goes and almost ends up in my grass. I'm like, come on, man. I'm literally a foot and a half away from driving into this thing. So I don't know how people do it, though. I don't know how people live in the snow. Like, I was talking to my friend Ryan, who runs United Faith Mortgage, and I'm doing a refi, and I was talking to him, and he lives up in New York, and he was like, man, I wish I could do his accent. His accent's great. But he was like, man, we had snow. It stopped by about 9:30. All the roads were completely salted and plowed by 10:30.
Yeah.
And it was business as usual.
Those guys jump to the gun quick.
Yeah.
And it's like impressive. And they need it because obviously it snows more there.
Yeah.
But we're
when
not
you
prepared.
Live in it, you're prepared for it. So it's not a big of a deal. Here, it is a big deal. I mean, it gets cold and they shut down school, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Oof.
But everybody's safe and sound. Everybody's back today. So here's some of the stuff we didn't get to. The Golden Globes. I was surprised. I'm glad I saw more of the story. I had read something, and it didn't have the whole reason behind it. But the Golden Globes, they were not telecast this year. Even though NBC dropped them for the 2022, that wasn't going to stop them. The Hollywood Foreign Press, that's who does the Golden Globes, proceeded with the 79th edition of this. And they did it with no nominees, no red carpet, no telecast, a host, or even a live stream. They basically just kind of did a live blog. Normally, they get like 18 million people, and they did it this way. And so I thought it was COVID.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, come on, guys. Just move to Tennessee. You can have any party you want in Tennessee. It's not a big deal. Now, don't do it during the snow because you're never going to get around. But, I mean, COVID, not a thing here. You know, no
yeah.
one cares. And so So that's what I thought it was. But then I came to find out it wasn't because of that at all. It was because NBC dropped them, and then it was over the lack of diversity in their group that does
wow.
the picking of the movies. So I had no idea. And so, like, I guess Tina Fey had made a joke about it, saying, you know, the however many people that vote on this thing, not a single black person was represented at all. And you're like, oh my goodness, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. And so that was why they were kind of on a timeout until they get it rectified and they do become more diverse. And
mm-hmm.
and there was also stories of people getting like gifts and things like that, you know, and so you could say, well, you were being bribed for your vote. And so there was a lot of shady going on. And so that's why they didn't do it. But that's why there wasn't telecast. But they still did it. Steven Spielberg, West Side Story, won a bunch of awards for Best Picture, Comedy, or Musical.
Best Picture?
Yeah. Yeah. Best Picture, Comedy, or Musical. I didn't see it. I'm not going to see it.
I think Haley and I are going to see it. She really wants to see
it.
Then
you're going to see it.
So that's fine. And, you know, maybe I'm watching an award-winning movie at that
yeah.
point.
When you're a jet all the way.
A jet?
Yeah, that's the Jets and the something else, the two gangs that have dance fights.
Yeah.
When you're a jet all the way.
I've never seen the original version of this or any.
Is that what you're quoting from?
Yeah.
The original.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've only seen parts of it. Other film winners, Will Smith for King Richard. I wish, man, I still want to see that.
So good.
I think it's still in a couple theaters.
Yeah, I might have to come up like to Franklin or something. It's because it's not in mine.
Oh.
So it is weird, though. They got rid of the bad banter and stuff, which you're like, great. That's
yeah.
a great start. But then they tried to keep doing that on Twitter, and it confused people. Like, to announce the winner for Best Oscar or Best Actor for motion picture or comedy, the organization tweeted, "It takes 43 muscles to smile. Thanks for the workout, Andrew Garfield. Congratulations for taking home the Golden Globe." So they were still trying to do it, but they didn't mention what the movie that he won was, what it was for.
Sounds bad.
And then another time they did, in announcing West Side Story's win, they wrote, "If laughter's the best medicine, at West Side Story, at West Side Movie is the cure for what ails you." But it's a drama about death and tragedy, you know, and two star-crossed lovers that can't be together, you know.
It's like, they're trying to be clever.
They're trying.
Yeah. So then they later deleted that tweet and wrote a new one that said, "Music is the best medicine."
Oh, that's funny.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what they do in future years if they're going to bring all that back or not.
Will they be? I have a feeling, like anything, they're on a timeout and then they'll want to come back. Now, do we need another award show? Absolutely not.
No.
Like, there's plenty and they're all the same. So I think the world would be okay without it. But then I'm sure there's money tied to this and like jobs tied to this. Yep. And so they'll figure out a way to bring it back. So, Lady Rock, what do you got?
Well, Alec Baldwin, if you didn't forget, he was involved in that whole accidental shooting on his movie that he was filming called Rust. But he has been accused of not working with
prosecutors and stuff.
Yes.
Oh, really?
And so he posted a video, and this is what he had to say. Well, just see what you think.
Someone from another state can't come to you and say, give me your phone, give me this, give me that. They can't do that. They've got to go through the state you live in. That is a process that takes time.
Oh, so he's justifying why he hasn't turned his phone in yet?
Right. So he's saying instead of just turning it over when they simply ask, he wants them to go through the ritual.
The channels.
Yeah, like you got to do this and then this, and making it hard for them to do. And of course, that's hitting some people the wrong way.
Like he's trying to cover up something.
Yeah, understandably. Right. I don't think he's having anything to cover up for, but I don't understand why he's being difficult. Then again, I'm not in his shoes, but I would be thinking about the woman that died. I would be thinking about her family and how quick they want to get to a resolution.
It's always optics, because it's like how does it make you look in people's minds? Like, okay, hey, Mr. Baldwin, we realize you didn't, you know, have anything to do with this. We're trying to piece together what happened. Can we look at your phone so we can see if there's anything that helps us with timelines and things like that? And he goes, yeah, sure, have it. Oh, cool, he's innocent. But when he goes, you're gonna need to go through the state at which my phone is registered in, that you go, oh, something's there.
What are you going to delete?
I know.
Yeah, and I know I'm going to sound like the classic nine, but I can see both sides. Yeah. Hear me out. Alec Baldwin, he has a reputation to protect. And so his phone is his own personal property, just like it is for us.
Right.
And so if we were put in a situation where maybe someone didn't die, but police are saying, hey, can we look at your phone?
Right.
Would we just as easily hand it over? Or would we say, well, no, you got to get the right channels to actually do that? Because you want it in the right hands. You don't want just anyone and everyone having control of your phone, because who knows what they could get.
Here's what I would do, because I like having my phone with me. I don't like being away from it. And so here's what I would do. I would be like, yeah, you can look at my phone, but I'm going to stay there with you, especially if I'm Alec Baldwin, because I don't want you taking my contacts. I don't want you seeing other conversations I've had in my business with people that, you know, could either make me look bad, or like say you were mad at some other actor and you were trashing them or something, then like all that stuff gets out, you know. So but, I'd be like, let me look at what you're doing.
Right. But they may not allow that for people that are involved in a
That's interesting too. Right now he's busy deleting stuff and getting a new phone and pretending that was his old phone. Like, hey, it's weird, Alec. You have no contacts on your phone. That's odd. I just memorize numbers. I'm old school. So that is kind of
also,
I get it. But
if anybody could pay someone to like get rid of something, I feel like Alec Baldwin could.
Mm.
But once again, I don't think he's guilty. I think this really was an accident.
I don't think there was anything nefarious.
No.
Like, I don't think it was like if it is, this is a whole nother movie. This is a movie within a movie that would be fantastic to write. Like, I mean, seriously.
It's going to be better than the one they were working on.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that movie would have probably bombed. But like, if you were to write this movie right now, so what you would do is you would be like, okay, so the embroiled actor, and on the surface, it looks like everything's fine. But then you find out he was trying to cover up like an alleged affair or something. And he had the one bullet put in there, or he did it himself. And I'm not saying this is true. And I'm not even speculating. I'm talking about writing a movie within a movie. Like, that would be the movie that you would write.
Yeah.
And then how that all untangles and how that comes to fruition.
Be a great cover up.
Yeah, that I would go see that movie.
Who plays Alec Baldwin?
His brother.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Or just him.
Yeah, just him. Stephen Baldwin, the weirdest Baldwin.
That would
absolutely.
Be so good.
Imagine how mad Alec Baldwin would be if they hired Stephen Baldwin to play him. Because I don't think there's a lot of love lost between them from the little bits I've heard and seen and people that I know kind of thing.
There isn't love lost.
Yeah,
so that
like
means
they're
that
not
they
like
do?
Super tight. No, they're, oh, they're not
that
like
makes
super
it
tight.
Sound like they are super tight.
There is there's no love lost.
Yeah.
You've never heard that saying before?
I have, no. But you said, I just thought it sounds like there isn't any love loss. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no love loss.
They didn't lose any love.
Because there wasn't any to begin with. Wow, that's deep.
And,
and sad.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe that's the title of the
deep and sad.
The title of the film. No love lost.
All
right. Birthdays?
Yeah, I have one before we start. I got to make up for this because... this lady, so nice, Kristen, she says, good afternoon from California. I have something to discuss with you. I told my kids the only two things I wanted for my birthday were a clean kitchen and a Wally Show shout out. I got my clean kitchen, but my birthday was during support drive, so it was a while ago.
Oh, boy.
And then we were on vacation, then we came back and there was snowpocalypse and stuff. And so happy birthday, Kristen, in California. And she's like, can you give my kids a shout out? Absolutely. Their names are Lily, Tavian, and Xavier. It's funny because she gave me explanations for each of them, like Lillian, because it's Lily, because it's spelled differently, and Tavian. But then Xavier was like self-explanatory. Like, if you've never seen Xavier, I would not know how to say that name. Like the X-A-V-I-E-R. If you're not a comic book fan, Professor
like
Xavier.
Professor X. Yeah.
Yeah. I think his name's Xavier.
X-Men, yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, yeah. And so
Charles
there you go.
Xavier.
Good question before we get to Betty's. Would you rather have 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Did you just have it? Because usually the argument is like they fight each other.
Oh, no. This is just to own.
Have it?
I would love to have 100 duck-sized horses. Like that tiny of horses running around would be so great.
What was the other option?
Or a... giant horse-sized duck.
I think that'd be creepy.
Yeah.
I'll take the horses.
Because I'm always scared about ducks. Like, when they peck at you, like, ducks freak me out. Like, it seems like it's going to hurt.
You couldn't give that duck enough bread.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to... You're not supposed to eat them bread.
Oh, what?
I read that
really?
Somewhere.
Really?
Yeah,
you're not supposed to feed them, like, Alka-Seltzer. Because it makes...
Why would anyone do that?
It makes their stomachs explode.
Goes with
the
bread.
Why would anyone do that?
I think people used to do that at the beach because seagulls are like a real nuisance.
Oh.
And so they would do that to get rid of
that
seagulls.
That is a little bit mean.
Yeah. I would go with the horses as well because I don't want to clean up after... Well, then again, I don't want to clean up after the duck-sized horses.
Yeah, that would be bad.
That's true.
Because
ducks go a lot. And can you imagine a duck that is the size of a
nasty.
Horse?
Nasty. Maybe I will go with the one.
Oh, man. Well, there you go. All right. Let's do yours now.
Okay. So Linda Lee wants to wish her mother, Melanie, a happy birthday. Says she loves Way FM. She's an unbelievable mom, daughter, and loves God with all her heart.
Nice.
Then we've got Kinley, who wants to wish herself a happy birthday. This was on the 7th. So happy belated birthday. She said, I'm a faithful potty who loves to draw. She has a burning building question for me.
Okay.
She said, if you could only pick one to save, which would you choose? And the options are Pastor Chad or Gavin's Android phone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, actually, this is more this is bigger than I anticipated.
Gavin's Android phone, as much as we don't like it, probably still has done good things for this world.
Whereas we can't say the same for Pastor Chad.
I took the shot for you.
Thank you.
Because Betty Rock has a love-hate relationship with Pastor Chad.
Let's be honest. I couldn't lift Pastor Chad. But I could lift. You know what? I wouldn't want to save your phone. I would let it burn. I would save it and then throw it back.
Yeah. Oh, just to further drive
in
that
Chad's
point home.
Face.
In Chad.
Hey, Chad, catch.
Call 911, Chad.
Yeah, call 911.
But don't send them a video or a picture because they won't be able to get it right.
Yeah. Melody wants to wish her grandpa Alan a happy birthday. They mean so much to me, and I love him so much. He is the best grandpa ever.
I like that when kids like dig their grandparents.
Jennifer wants to wish herself a happy birthday on the 9th. So belated happy birthday. John wants to wish Natalie, his wife, a happy birthday, saying she's the awesomest, best wife and mother ever. Perfect 140. Oh, she'll wow. know what that means. I don't know what that means, but there you go, Natalie. And then another John wants to wish his beautiful wife, Amanda, a happy birthday, saying, I want to wish my amazing, beautiful wife a wonderful birthday. She loves Star Trek, not Wars. Don't even ask. And working out as she's going to try a marathon this year. Oh, she wow. loves her family fiercely.
Good for her.
His question, we plan our vacation around my wife's races.
Oh.
What's the weirdest or best thing you've planned a vacation around?
Oh, wow.
That's a good question.
Your best would probably be your wedding.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
I think vacations, I've always had to plan them around like my daughter's schedule, whether it was work or whether it was
so
shows.
Selfish.
Like, yeah, like she'd be in a play. she was in one last one. We actually had to move it. Yeah, she wasn't in, they hadn't done the cast list yet. We booked a trip to California. Then she got into the show and we had to move the entire trip back a week because she couldn't be gone. And So I've had to do that before.
I would say the worst for me is having to plan around support drives.
Oh, yes.
It's just,
and there's so many of them.
Yeah, you're like, is it this month? Is it next month? Yeah. I don't, whatever. Yeah. Gavin?
Oh, man. Best, yeah, we'll go, yeah, planning around the wedding. The worst, I think that when I was a kid, my parents always had, because I haven't planned a lot of trips in my adult life, but my parents always had to plan around my travel soccer days when I would just be playing every single weekend for 8 months out of the year. And we'd be driving to, you know, Denver or anywhere that's like 2 or 3 hours to play a few soccer games.
Yeah.
That's going to be a question, you know, like someday I have a kid and they want to play a travel sport where we go places all the time and you have to pay for them to play. I'm like, man, let's wait until you get to high school and just, you know, play there.
And
well, it's interesting. Like,
kill his dreams. Or her dreams.
I might.
It's tough because, yeah, you're like, okay, does my kid have what it takes to really be that next level thing to warrant the investment in that? Or if they don't, the uprooting your family, the money that you spend on it, it's not worth it. You could spend that on other things, you know, for that kid's betterment, you know.
But what if it helps them? Maybe they're really bad at the sport or the skill.
Definitely not.
But, no. They find that is their friend group, so they find belonging there.
Sure.
Also, it helps them with sharing.
Mm.
It helps them with exercise. Is your child's health mentally and physically worth it?
I don't know. for example, our friends, they have poured into their daughter's dance career since she was like 5, and they have spent thousands and thousands of dollars every year on it. They used to travel to all these things, and all of her dresses alone, thousands of dollars. So like they would do classes for her. Anytime she had breaks, she loves what she does, and so they would do drop-in classes for her. So they have invested in their daughter thing, and so she goes to college for it, and she graduates, and then she does get a job in her industry, which was great.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, she's not
the
making...
money was worth it.
Not making a lot of money yet, but she's working towards it, you know? And she loved putting into it, but, like, I could never commit that much for my daughter. Like, I don't have that much
that
they
have.
She
doesn't mean that much.
No, I don't have what they have, you know? Like, and so, like, and there, to me, like, I was like... You know, like there were a couple of times where my daughter's like, oh, there's this, you know, camp thing in New York and it's $4,000. And I'm like, yeah, I'm like, that's great. But you're going to have to do this the hard way on your own because I'm not paying that, you know. And so it was just a different way. And I drew my lines at what I was willing to spend and invest in that. Well, especially when she's young.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'd rather invest in her a little bit later on in life where she needs the help trying to get her career going.
And I appreciate like my parents having and paying for me to do all that and supporting me through it. Like I wasn't playing it thinking I'll be a soccer player someday.
Right.
I think I was good. I don't think I never thought of myself as being good enough to go and play at a bunch of different levels. I had a few surgeries in high school too, so that like derailed it.
Was that that high knee surgery you had?
All three of them. Oh. I shouldn't have said that. Why did I say that?
Because he was like making us think like it was his knee. My bum knee. I got bum knee.
Did you say he made a stink? Is that what you said?
No. But I felt bad for my siblings having to come along. That's what I feel. Yeah. That's what I felt. That's what I felt actually. I actually felt bad about is that, you know, my little brother and my little sister every single weekend also had to come. I don't think they ever left him home because they were never quite old enough to do it. But
did you ever tell your parents, "Hey, I'm really not good at this. Like, I don't see a future in this."
I didn't think I was that bad.
Well, I mean, not enough to turn pro. like I knew that every sport, with the exception of tennis, I couldn't turn pro at.
Yeah.
Like, none of those. Tennis was the only one I had an option that I possibly could have. And my parents were willing to invest in that, but then I lost that passion. And so I didn't want to, you know, do it. Like, and so then I didn't want them spending a bunch of money on it either. Mm-hmm. You know, when I knew I wasn't, like, totally into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt pretty gassed after the third surgery. So
on the hiney. All right. Well, with that, I think that's going to do it for your aftercast for today. And as always, thanks for being a potty.